Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of the future of Islam. Today, we'll look at another side of Professor Esposito. That is his side of humility, as we will continue to critique his presentation, which he gave at the University of Kentucky with the title, The Future of Islam. Today, Professor Esposito will go on to tell us about how the media and the American people are not fair with the Muslims concerning the denouncing of the terrorist acts. Obviously, here he is talking about September 11. And without further ado, here he is, Professor Esposito.
But the future of Islam is also Islam itself. I'm going to go for about 10 more minutes, okay? I love listening to my voice. It's just, you get to an age where, why listen to anybody else's voice? I mean, my mother said I didn't like to read. I also have my own version, not seriously, but I can't pay attention to most people. It's just, I don't know what it is. But I'm riveted by myself.
And boy, oh boy, I cannot wait to listen to the last 10 minutes of Professor Esposito's lies. 10 more minutes for him to enjoy his own voice and for us to suffer with his lies. And that also will give us the great opportunity to expose all his lies. 10 more minutes of humility. Wow. I never heard anybody is more humble than Professor Esposito, except maybe myself. But the most philosophical statement I have heard so far from Professor Esposito is when he stated, but the future of Islam is also Islam itself. We know that the word Islam means submission or surrendering. And Muslims who believe in Islam are those who submitted to Allah and to Muhammad and to such a savage cult. And now Professor Esposito has given us a very important insight, even though I believe he said it without thinking about it. The subject of his lecture is the future of Islam. And now he is telling us that Islam itself is the future of Islam, which means submission or surrendering of us who live here in America is the reality for the future of Islam in America. We will all submit. We will all surrender someday to the Muslims who will be controlling this country. And that is exactly what this lecture is all about. Well, let's go back to Professor Esposito, who said,
the challenge that many Muslims face today is not whether or not they denounce terrorism. For the first 8 years after 9/11, I'd always have people say, why didn't Muslims denounce it? You can go on websites. University of North Carolina has a whole website on this. From 9/11 on, in the New York Times, 1 week after the attacks, there was a full-page ad, put out by a Western think tank, but with all prominent Muslim leaders denouncing the acts of violence. ISIS being denounced. But you don't see it in the media. If you look on the internet, you can find it. You know, these statements go out. Media tend not to publish it. Tom Friedman, who writes for the New York Times, had served in the Middle East, great columnist, he's written twice about the idea that Muslims don't speak up. And his own newspaper has had these denunciations.
When I listen to Professor Esposito, or all Americans in general, concerning the subject of denunciation of Muslim terrorist attacks, I cannot help but to laugh to see how naive are the American people. As if the whole Muslim world wrote an apology saying, we're sorry for what happened and we denounce this act, this will make any difference with future attacks by Muslims in America or around the world. Do you know that in Islam it is lawful to lie? And if all the American people want or need it from the Muslims of America to denounce the Muslim acts, there is no problem. Every member in planet Earth, including the members of the jihadi of Al-Qaeda, Fatah, Hamas, Hezbollah, Ikhwan, Boko Haram, Jamaat, all of them can write you books of denunciations to say we denounce this act or these acts. The problem is not Muslim denouncing the acts of the Muslim terrorists. What I'm looking for is Muslim leaders denouncing Islam. Because if it was not for Islam, these Muslim believers would have never attacked us on September 11. And that is exactly what Muslims will never do. They may pretend that Islam is a loving, peaceful religion, and they will give you all the apologies and all the denunciations that you want to hear. But in reality, I want the Muslims, those who know Islam, to write to us and say, we denounce the teaching of Allah in the Quran. We denounce the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith. We have a problem in our ideology. That's why you were attacked on September 11 or any other attacks. And that's not what the Muslims will ever do. And as long as we do not have an educated community in America, that is leaders and followers, we will always fall into the hogwash of the denunciations game of some Muslims in America or around the world. I mean, think about it. I grew up in Egypt and we had one attack after another where Muslims literally invaded our lives for the last 1400 years. And every time after Muslims do their dirty work for Allah or Muhammad, some Muslims apologize and they say, we denounce this act. But guess what? The Muslims' acts of terrorism never stopped for the last 1400 years. And I believe they will continue to do their dirty work until Christ comes back. That is when they will be killing the last Christian and the last Jew in the Middle East. What this denunciation will do? If the Muslim in America denounce September 11, will this bring any of the 3,000 who died back to life? Will this guarantee that there will not be a future attack for the few hundreds of thousands of Americans, if not the millions, who will be killed by the hands of the Muslim believers? Of course not. But if we want to fix the problem with terrorism, we have to find the root of terrorism. And once again, as I shared with you before, the roots is the words of Allah in the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad in the Hadith. And if Muslim leaders will not get out of Islam denouncing the teaching of Islam, then we will never have an end of these terrorist attacks. But how can Muslims who believe in Allah, Satan, and Muhammad, the most savage man, will denounce the teaching of the Quran and the commands of Muhammad? My friends, this is the reality. Having useful idiots like Professor Esposito, who is used as a puppet by the Muslims to brainwash our new generation that there are plenty of Muslims in America who denounce September 11, but the newspaper will not write it. This is nonsense. This is nothing but foolishness or stupidity, because even if the last Muslim American denounced September 11, that does not mean that this act of such a day will not repeat itself, because once again, the foundation of terrorism still exists in their books, the Quran, Allah's words, and the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith. And until we denounce the source of the problem, we will never reach a solution to the problem of terrorism.
Skeptics are constantly grouping God's Holy Bible together with Muhammad's unholy Quran. These mockers claim that both books are filled with tales of unjustified violence and that they speak of jihad, or holy war, against the infidels. But is this true?
To answer this challenge, Usama Dakdok has released a two-volume book series investigating the concept of jihad in both the Bible and the Quran.
Volume 1, entitled Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Holy War in the Bible, takes an honest and unvarnished view of death and killing as recorded throughout the pages of the Holy Scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, from the Flood to the Second Coming, Usama Dakdok examines the logical and moral justification for God's judgment against sin. from the conquest of Canaan to the cross of Calvary. Exposing the truth about jihad, holy war in the Bible provides the reader with a thorough and detailed investigation into this difficult yet crucial topic. In Volume 2, Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Unholy War in the Quran, the author will likewise provide a fair and honest examination of the arbitrary and unjustified killing as commanded by Allah in the pages of the Quran. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy of this new book today. The Straightwave Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. And now, back to our show.
Now, let us go back to Professor Esposito to learn a little bit more of his hogwash.
But that's not what Muslims face today. For many Muslims, on the one hand, if they are in Europe and America, it is feeling that one is that mosaic, is part of that mosaic. I mean, if you think about it, Muslims are, and I have a little thing here. I like to give stats. The great thing now is that we have data. You don't have to rely, if you listen to me, you don't have to say, oh, well, that's what he says, but I can listen to another talking head that says the opposite, you know, and they have the same credentials. Okay. 4 out of 10 Americans, no, we'll skip that.
Whoa, Professor Esposito, why do you want to skip that one? 4 out of 10 Americans, what is in it? And here I must say to you, my dear friends, whatever numbers you're going to hear in our broadcast today and in the next broadcast, all these numbers are built on how the Muslims answer the following questions. They do the survey. Professor Esposito got his numbers, so he's not speaking off the top of his head. But excuse me, once again, don't you know that Muslims lie? Or do we have any other reasons why we got these numbers? That's not what those who do these surveys are interested to learn about. They just want to find something positive about Muslims and Islam in the West, and here it is, America, take it from us. And nobody else can critique Professor Esposito. After all, he come up with this all-important information from a survey, which is a true study. Nobody else can argue with him and give us a different set of statistics. So here we go, America. Let us listen to these great facts of Professor Esposito.
Let's look at a Muslim profile. Muslims span the professional profile. They come from 68 different countries. Professionally, they're doctors, lawyers, engineers, educators, taxi drivers, small business owners. 70% report they have a job compared to 64% overall of Americans.
Here we go. Muslims come to America from 68 countries, and they are professionals. We're talking about doctors, lawyers, engineers, educators, taxi drivers, small business owners. And here is the good news now. 70% report that they have a job compared to 64% of overall Americans. Wow. Can't you see the problem, Professor Esposito? Here you're trying to paint the Muslims with this great, powerful, colorful picture, but in reality, you're missing the point. If it was not for the Muslims who live in America, maybe the number of the American workers would not be 64%, but 80% or maybe 90%. Do you guys understand this fact? I hear a lot. Bush and Obama and many other leaders all over the world, especially in the West, always brag about the Muslim workers. Yes, I understand we got Muslim doctors in America, and there is not one hospital in America does not have Dr. Muhammad or Dr. Khadija. But here is the reality about these doctors. First of all, they have much less education, especially if they were educated in the Middle East. Listen carefully to me. I'd rather be treated by a registered nurse in America than to be treated by some of these Muslim doctors who believe that drinking camel urine is a medicine and it will heal many diseases, including coronavirus. These doctors who come from the Middle East, if it was not for America, they would be sitting in their parents' homes because there are no jobs in Egypt or any of the 68 Muslim countries. These doctors who come to America literally are stealing jobs from American doctors who study very hard, who spend the thousands of dollars, and now they cannot take the job which is given to the Muslim doctors because, face it, they offer these jobs with a lower salary that if the American doctors will take it, he will not be able to pay his student loans, which is loaded in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I can go on and on and on with every other job. And the American people need to understand that when you bring the Muslims to America from the 68 Muslim countries who take the American jobs, that's not fair. That is not right. We're not going to brag about there are 70% of the Muslims who live in America are working, and 64% of all Americans are working. But we may look at it in a completely different way. That here we go, we got Muslims from the Muslim world coming to America, taking the American jobs. And if it was not for their existence in America, maybe we will offer the American workers higher salary because it costs more money for those Americans who go to the American schools to be educated, to be trained, to be prepared to do their jobs. But here is another fact, Professor Esposito. Since 70% of the Muslims in America are working, that means 30% of them are on the welfare system. So here we go, Professor Esposito. You give me your numbers, and I show you the problem in your numbers. And we're not going to stop here. Let's get another fact from Professor Esposito. That is when he said,
educationally, 40% of Muslims have college degrees versus 29% of Americans overall. 40 versus 29.
Yes, indeed, my friends. 40% of the Muslims in America have a college degree, but the American people, only 29%. Now let's ask another important question for the people who made up this survey. Did you ask the Muslim students in our colleges who is paying for their college degree? It's just a simple question. I understand that the percentage of Muslim students in America who hold college degrees is higher than American students. Now, let's ask a question. Why is the percentage of Muslim students higher in our colleges? Do the Muslims who come from Egypt pay the same amount of money which an American student would pay for the same degree? The answer is absolutely not. Do you know that all the Muslim refugees who come to America do not even pay their flight to come to America? The reason Muslims love to come to America as refugees is very simple. They don't have to pay for their flight. They don't have to pay for their housing. They don't have to pay for their food. They don't have to pay for their education. They don't have to pay for their medical care. They don't have to pay for anything. They're living in a free society. Welcome to the early stages of communism in America. And who's paying all these bills? Dumb Americans. Yes, indeed, you heard me right. We, the American taxpayers. And I know, some of our smart, smooth-talking politicians will tell me, well, we only support them and help them in the first year, or some say 2 years. How about 40 years? How about the next 40 generations? When people come from the Middle East, from the Muslim countries to America, before they even set their foot on the airplane to cross the oceans to come to America, they know they're coming for a gift, the gift of life, free living in America. And not only they and their children and their grandchildren will benefit from the welfare of America, but believe it or not, their cousins and their neighbors overseas, because today we got 10 million, tomorrow we'll have 100 million Muslims in America. This is the reality which Professor John Esposito will not talk about. He will not even get close to. Why? Because he have one goal, and that one goal is to paint Islam and paint the Muslims in a very prosperous picture. After all, they're doctors, they're teachers, they're lawyers. As for the ones who live in America, second and third generation, They are more educated than the foolish American people. What else would you like to share with us, Professor Esposito?
Muslim women are statistically as likely as Muslim men to hold college degrees and postgraduate degrees and to be equally employed.
Here we go. Another truth. Muslim women and Muslim men in America hold college degree and do great things. Well, can we talk about Muslim women in Saudi Arabia? Can we talk about Muslim women in Afghanistan or Pakistan? Can we talk about Muslim women in the 68 countries where they originally come from? Are these numbers the same in the Muslim world as it is in America? So right now, if I go to any Muslim country in the Muslim world and do the same study about Muslim men and Muslim women, will we get the same result? In some Muslim countries, Muslim women do not get out of their homes for work or anything. Professor Esposito, you know why? Not because these countries have bad culture, but because these countries practice Islam fully. Because Allah in the Quran, chapter 33, verse 33, commands them to stay at their homes. And because Muhammad did not want the Muslim people to teach their girls how to read and write. Instead, teach them how to spin and memorize Quran chapter 24, sir. This is the reality of Islam. The facts you're sharing is not due to Islam or to the goodness of Allah and Muhammad in Islam, but it is due to the American blessing on the Muslims. Or anyone else who come to America. I came to this country 30 years ago with nothing. And today I am blessed. Why? Because of Egypt. No. Because of Islam in Egypt. No. Because of Jesus Christ and America. And believe it or not, this can be applied to anybody else. So your numbers are true. But the facts behind your numbers are false. And to continue our study of the future of Islam, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.